Jesus came preaching, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What an arresting way to begin his preaching ministry. It was short. It was to the point, very clear, unambiguous, no equivocating, no obtuse language allowing for misunderstanding or misinterpretation. It's no wonder that he got attention and that great crowds followed him. No wonder they were astonished at his teaching, because he spoke as one who had authority. Nothing better summarizes the ministry of Jesus, his preaching and that of his disciples and of his church. No one else could say it just that way. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, because in the person of Christ, the kingdom of heaven is manifest. In him, the kingdom is present. It's here. The phrase kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God and eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as Peter puts it in his first epistle, and the coming and the kingdom of Christ and of God, as Paul puts it in Ephesians 5:5, are synonymous. They mean the same thing. The reference is to the rule of God, given by the Father to the Son. It is a spiritual kingdom in which Christ exercises his rule and his authority until he has, quote, put all his enemies under his feet and delivers the kingdom to God the Father. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the kingdom of God, according to Romans 14 verse 17, is a matter of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom, 1 Corinthians 4:20, does not consist in talk, but in power. And so Jesus says, recorded in John 18, verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world." It does not rest on the fickle, changing, uncertain, unstable, most often selfish principles of the world that, as John says, lies in the power of the evil one, 1 John 5:19. Now, that's hard for humans who want to be in control to understand. His kingdom has come to this world in the person of Jesus Christ, and is manifest in his people whose lives reveal and demonstrate the principles, the qualities of his kingdom. The ultimate purpose of the kingdom, the rule of God, is the redemption of those who surrender in faith to his Son, and consequently their victory over the forces of sin and evil. Forgiveness of sin and cleansing from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. Now, how do we become citizens of the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus tells us, and his words are recorded by John in chapter 3 of his gospel, verse 3. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again," in other words, experiences the new birth, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." The first words of Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount lay down the principles or the spiritual qualities of his kingdom. We call them beatitudes or sayings. It sounds like proverbs. For example, Proverbs 3:13, "Blessed is one who finds wisdom, who gets understanding." Although the crowd was there when he preached that sermon, observing and listening, his words were directed to his disciples. And who are they? Were they just the original 12? You and me? Why to the disciples or followers? Because, number one, they of all people need to know and understand the principles of his kingdom. They are in the spiritual condition to understand them. They have experienced a new birth. And number two, because they are the ones he expects to put those principles into practice. Excuse me. To live them. They are the only ones who can do that. Having surrendered to Jesus in faith, the Holy Spirit has access to the inner life and enables them to do so. Now, what method should we use in pondering what the Lord is saying here in this sermon? Well, the spirit of prophecy tells us. She says, let us in imagination go back to that scene. And as we sit with the disciples on the mountainside, enter into the thoughts and feelings that filled their hearts, that is to say, their inner beings. That doesn't mean imagining anything that happens to enter our consciousness, but the scenes presented by Scripture. Then she goes on, understanding what the words of Jesus meant to those who heard them, we may discern in them a new vividness and beauty, and may also gather for ourselves their deeper lessons. That's from her little book, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings, page 1. So let's briefly look at each one of these principles. Aware that Jesus is not offering rewards, but is rather stating facts. Facts of faith, we could call them spiritual facts. Each one of these beatitudes or sayings begins with the word blessed. Now the Greek word is makarios, which is rich in meaning. God is the one who blesses by making happy. The one who experiences God-given happiness knows just how fortunate he or she is. So, first of all, fact number one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3. Now that, my friends, is the opposite of what today is called self-esteem. Without this, the rest means nothing. Without the quality of spiritual poverty, none of the rest is possible. And this is where experiencing the kingdom of heaven begins. To be poor in spirit means to admit that there is nothing good in you that merits the kingdom of God. It's to such that God gives his kingdom. Theirs is his kingdom. You come to him with your nothingness, and he gives you all of the spiritual riches of his kingdom. Fact number two. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, to mourn means to experience grief or sorrow. Mourn about what? Now, every one of us has stuff that we regret. Words, acts, choices, mistakes. perhaps locked in the deepest recesses of our hearts, but God knows. And to grieve, mourn because of sin is good. Why? Because then you can be comforted by the Lord who says to those who mourn, who repent, in other words, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. And what joy, what happiness, how fortunate to experience the release from guilt when we, as Ellen White says, look up and behold His dear face of love. Now here, friends, is the motivation for evangelism. The one who grieves for his sin and receives the comfort of forgiveness aches to share that blessing with other people. Fact number three, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The Greek means humble, gentle, considerate, courteous. Now that doesn't sound like people who will succeed in a competitive dog-eat-dog, me world. The earth made new is not going to be inherited by those who dominate, who are cruel, who exploit, who don't really care about or for other people or about righteousness. Do they make you feel happy and at peace? No, they break your heart instead. They cause grief and pain. But on the earth, according to Peter, 2 Peter 3:13, on the earth made new, righteousness dwells. Ellen White comments, there is no disappointment, no sorrow, no sin, no mourning, no death, no partings, no broken hearts, but Jesus is there, peace is there. Mount of Blessing, page 17. Fact number four, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now, if righteousness is what you want, you will receive it by the grace of God, because you cannot achieve it. The born-again citizens of the kingdom crave righteousness. As Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:11, such folks pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. They pursue these things. And the Greek verb action here is ongoing. As long as we continue to hunger and thirst for righteousness, God will supply it. No hunger, no thirst equals no righteousness. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:15, if, and in most cases, if introduces a condition, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And then in verse 21 of the same chapter, so that in Him, that is in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. And Ellen White comments on page 19 of Mount of Blessing, the more we know of God, the higher will be our ideal of character, and the more earnest our longing to reflect His likeness. And so true happiness is knowing that we have done the right thing. Fact number five. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now you have heard it said, what goes around comes around. In other words, what you give, you get. Giving it and receiving it makes you happy. If the born-again believer has, quote, become the righteousness of God, he or she will be merciful to others. Ellen White says in Mount of Blessing, page 23, kind words, looks of sympathy, expressions of appreciation would be to many a struggling and lonely one as the cup of cold water to a thirsty soul. A word of sympathy, an act of kindness, would lift burdens that rest heavily upon weary shoulders. Every word or deed of unselfish kindness is an expression of the love of Christ for lost humanity. Unquote. Fact number 6. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. One who is pure inwardly will be pure outwardly in behavior, in action, in deed. And if we have not accepted for ourselves the spiritual principle of sacrificial love, we have not really seen God. Do not really know Him. The pure in heart see God because they have experienced His goodness and His compassion. You see, no matter how much one might profess Him, one does not confess Him if the life lived is ungodly. Second Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them, through those promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. My friends, that is real happiness. Fact number 7. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. How does that sound in the world of today? The darkness is thicker than ever, and the powers of evil are blatantly visible as never before. What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ in this fearful and painful time? Well, the child is like the father. Ellen White says on page 28 of Mount of Blessings, whoever by the quiet, unconscious influence of a holy life shall reveal the love of Christ, whoever by word or deed shall lead another to renounce sin and yield his heart to God, is a peacemaker. Fact number 8. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, it is the disciples' unlikeness to the world that arouses the most bitter hostility. Such is the world's response to righteousness, to the poor in spirit, to the meek, to those who hunger for righteousness, those who are merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers. Isn't that strange? What the world needs the most, it rejects the most fiercely. But what does the Lord say to them? verse 12. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. The fallen world that John tells us lies in the power of the evil one doesn't win in the end. Christ and his followers do. And so the principles, the qualities of the kingdom of heaven established by the Lord of that kingdom for his followers are the things that really matter.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright
2010.
All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry, as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.